This just in. The Morning Pint is proud to bring you an exclusive interview with Arsenal's new signing, Nacho Monreal. On the scene is Heywood Jablomi with an exclusive interview with the new Arsenal player, the Spanish international. That's Heywood.
Congratulations, Ignacio, on your move to Arsenal Football Club. Why did you want to come to play for Arsenal Football Club?
Don't you want a little taste of the glory? See what it tastes like?
You moved from Malaga Football Club. What was your favorite memory playing there?
Do you remember the time everyone was shouting my name? I used my strength to rip my blouse.
This is a strange question, but it comes from our supporters. Do you like corn?
Get that corn out of my face!
What do you think Spurs fans are thinking right now?
It sucks to be me right now.
What do you know about Arsenal Football Club?
They don't think I know a buttload about the gospel, but I do, okay?
What can you bring to the club?
I can summon my eagle powers.
How will you celebrate if you create an assist for Olivier Giroud?
And I kind of squeeze.
How do you think you will like living in London?
It's the best.
How should the supporters pronounce your name?
Pues, my name is Ignacio Monreal Erazo. But you guys can call me Nacho!
Thank you for your time. Do you have a message for the supporters?
I want to win!
Welcome to the Pintcast. Today, we are graced by the presence of the one, the only, Mr. I Hate Your Club, Joseph Up the Arse. And returning to the Pintcast is Alex, my main man, Mr. Beck. You can follow him on Twitter at the Beck.
You don't have to, but it's okay.
Well, you could.
It's
in your best interest. If you want the best jokes about spermicidal aftershave, you best follow him for the Twitter amusement. Anyways, thank you, gentlemen, for joining. It's been an eventful week. The transfer deadline has passed. We are now into February. It's the calm after the storm, maybe? Or no, it's shit show.
It's the continuing calm.
Continuing calm. From an Arsenal's perspective, relatively quiet.
It's storm.
Or, yeah.
Right. Fair enough. But there wasn't much action all around. Arsenal had an eventful week. Unfortunately, not two victories, but we did win in the FA Cup against Brighton away, which didn't seem too impressive on face value, but gauging the other results around the league over the weekend, it was, you know, a win is a win.
And a win in the FA Cup is exactly a good win.
Take it for what it is. Let's start with that, Alex. How do you feel about the match against Brighton at the weekend?
I was overjoyed. I was not, actually, that sounds horrible.
You sound brimming with confidence, like over exuberant.
I was happy that we won. It's always tough. I mean, we won in the last 10 minutes, so it was really good.
It had me on the edge of my seat. I was out on a vacation in the weekend. I was up in the snow, and I was sitting there. I woke up my ass way too early to watch that match. And I was a little disappointed. I woke up and I was following the match from bed, and I couldn't get my ass out of bed until halftime. And then I started watching, and as soon as I got downstairs, I was able to watch their equalizer to bring it to 2-2. And I was a little disappointed. I was sitting there on the edge of my seat, just like, God, what the fuck is going to happen? And we looked like we were always going to score the winner, but you never know with this Arsenal. You never know if they're actually going
to
come through.
It took a nice deflection to get us there.
It did take a nice deflection, but it was fair with the run of play. I mean, we were dominating. We were knocking on the door the whole time. But, you know, it's a good win.
Brighton towards the end, we're kind of just hoping for a replay.
Yeah, that's all. They were hanging on for that.
Yeah.
But
another shot.
But job done.
Another shot at getting our defense to capitulate and fall apart.
Right.
But they won't get to see us, so...
Yeah.
I think I'm used to our capitulation and our self-suicide play, like suicidal play. So when we do win, or even drew. I'm overjoyed, right?
I wouldn't say I'm overjoyed with the draw. I take any win we can get, though. That's for sure.
Well, who are we getting? We got Blackburn in the next round, though. So
we do have Blackburn at home.
The bad news is, I think Paul Robinson left.
Yeah, Paul Robinson just left, which is a shame.
I was hoping we put another seven. We're good at
spanking the ball past him.
Yeah,
he must be happy. That's probably why he pushed the transfer through.
He knew we were gonna.
He knew we were coming.
He saw the draw alive.
Yeah, so I mean, it was good to get that and progress. So everybody can, be so overjoyed we're still in that competition.
But there were a few teams that got eliminated, so I mean, it was an eventful round. It was. I was excited to see a lot of those results. A few teams had replays. Right, I believe Chelsea's a replay. Right. Tottenham got knocked out.
Yes, they did.
The scum. Such a shame.
Could they play?
I don't know.
They play Leeds or someone? Who did they play?
I don't know. They just aren't worth talking about. So, anyways, they're out. They're irrelevant in that competition.
So, I guess we'll go to the midweek
game. Moving on to the Scousers. I mean, this is the worst thing is, all I wanted to do was talk shit about Liverpool today. I just wanted to bask in the glory of how shit they are. Yep, we fucked up.
It's a good thing we didn't do that scheduled podcast for Monday.
I know.
It was going to be like an hour of shit talking.
That's all we were going to do was talk
really?
Shit about Liverpool.
I guess we should have because it wouldn't have really mattered.
Yeah, I mean, that was the idea. It was just to talk as much shit as possible because, I mean, to be honest, the club is still in shambles.
If you'd like to hear a bunch of shit talking, the very first Pintcast is full of it.
That's all we did was talk shit on Liverpool, which it was fun.
Yeah. Good times.
It was fun. But so, breaking down that match, I don't know. It's just our defense from basically every position was there was – we had way too many players off their game, at least defensively yesterday – on Wednesday against Liverpool to really be able to put a good product on the field. It was shambolic, the defending. I mean, I don't know how else to put it.
Wait, look, we're punished. We're just punished.
It's okay. The tracking, it was awful. There was no tracking. They weren't tracking the ball. They weren't tracking the player. I mean, of course, not the whole game, but it was the ball when it came on the right for the first goal. I mean, Sanya slipped, you know. And then after Sanya slipped, you had three defenders. I mean, Wilshere had already let Suarez run. Wilshere was supposed to be covering Suarez that whole time. And he just let him go the whole time. And he just stood there and watched.
Well, maybe he figured that Vermaelen wouldn't miss a ball again.
Again.
I mean, completely miss it. I mean, even if he just shanked it, it would have been better.
Yeah, he swung and a miss. I mean, I'm a staunch defender of Vermaelen. I think he's been playing better as of late. But that was not what we needed right there. And it's just, fuck, man.
Yeah, but even then without Senya slip, without Vermaelen missing the ball, without it bouncing off of Ramsey's leg, which I don't know if he was backheeling it or if it bounced off his legs. It was still kind of hard to tell.
Ramsey was trying to be too clever with the ball when it came out again with Gerrard. And then Gerrard gave it straight to Suarez.
And then it still needed a deflection to get around the keeper.
Because
without the deflection,
It was right at him.
It was right at Szczesny.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's the kind of luck we have. Right now, too. We don't get any break. There's no break at all when it comes to our defending. One of those things doesn't happen for other people.
Right, but you make some of your luck, right? I mean, so Sanya slipped, then all right, well, fucking Vermaelen clear it, and the issue would be over, you know? Yeah, they got fortunate, but there were like two or three mistakes.
I know, but in the end, they're still fortunate. Without the deflection,
yeah, of course
it's not
they're
a
fortunate.
Goal. And they didn't create it.
And if you want to talk fortunate, let's talk about their second goal. I am fucking ashamed. I'm ashamed. There's no one talks more shit about Jordan Henderson than Joseph and I. He is a shambolic footballer. He is a sad excuse of a 20 million pound player.
Yes.
Was he 20 or was he 18? He was 20.
I think he was
pounds,
like
right?
19.
Whatever.
He's way.
If he was 5 million, it's still fucking too much.
He's exponentially overpriced. And he still looked like shit all day. I was laughing. I saw a couple tweets come out about saying someone wrote an article about how I saw it today coming up for ESPN FC that like his display at the Emirates justified why some people think he might be the next Steven Gerrard. I should have clicked the link just for the laughing value, you know, just for the laughs, but I couldn't do it.
It's nice to see that the mentally disabled or able to write for ESPN.
Right.
I'm glad they got jobs. It's equal opportunity.
Wait, Liverpool fans? Again.
It's as if the ball was meant to go in the net. It was like it was a magnet to his feet. And it's like our players had no way of stopping it, but they did. They had so many chances to stop that goal.
But he was so fortunate, too. Like, the deflection it took off of Ramsey, it came back and hit him and bounced right back to his feet. I mean, like, he should have buried that. He should have scored that a couple times, but he fucked it up, yet it still came back to him quite fortuitously.
Yeah, I mean, it was bad defending, it was unfortunate.
Unfortunate, but bad defending. And that's when Santos, I rewatched it a few times. It's like, Santos, just get in position. He stood there idly while he took on Mertesacker instead of getting the right position behind him, and then it never would have happened. But, you know, Santos has been a major issue in terms of a weakness.
A weakness, but he also hasn't been playing. So, I mean, you've got two things we're going to get used.
But you know
he's slow, he's poor, and he hasn't been playing.
But he's fucking lazy, too.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
Santos looks unfit.
Oh, he's
very, very heavy on the ball. Very heavy.
No, but he's fit.
I've seen him in such a long time.
But he's lean. He's lean. Pictures of him on vacation a couple of weeks ago, right? And he had a six pack going and everything. He's unfit because he's just a lazy ass, I guess.
Well,
he's not fat.
But you know, we didn't play well. I mean, defensively we obviously didn't play well. But offensively, Liverpool didn't create that much, and the chances we had, we didn't put away.
No, they really didn't. We had many an opportunity.
Even in that first half where everybody was saying we were so poor and we didn't show up.
We could have scored two goals at least.
Yeah.
And, like, I made the point yesterday, I believe, that, you know, Giroud had a good game. He was dangerous all game. But, honestly, he could have buried a couple more goals. I mean, it's not – you can't expect a striker to score two or three goals in a match. He had a goal and an assist. That's a great return on any game by anyone's standards. But – you see a couple of chances that he missed, and you thought he already had a goal and assist, and he had two chances that he really should have converted.
The one from Podolski was a little...
It was tough. I'm not saying...
It was tough.
But I'm saying he had a couple chances, multiple chances where he had...
There was one header that stuck with me.
Right. Yeah. Which he would tell you himself that he should have buried, you know?
And he knew that. You could see by his face when he missed.
Absolutely. You could see it by disappointment in his face. So he could have done that... He could have gone that extra mile to make that match-winning difference, which is something that we did get out of, you know, Van Persie quite often in the past. And it's not the thing is it's not fair. The standards we hold him to are unfair because, you know, it's his first season in England. It's
his first season with us. His first season with England.
We haven't had any of the strikers that have come in. When was the last time we brought in a striker that had this kind of impact in his first season? He's got 13 goals already. We have plenty of seasons to go.
One of the best returns. It's one of the best returns.
For a striker in his first season, I can't think of the last one I did that many, right? I mean, I'm thinking...
Torres?
Who?
Torres. Fernando Torres.
Well, I'm talking about for Arsenal.
I don't know. I don't think...
I mean, Eduardo played relatively well in his first season with us, but he still didn't put up...
Didn't start playing properly until January, February, and that's when he broke his leg, so...
But so we had, you know, we haven't had many strikers have come in and made a difference in the first season. So we got to take that into perspective when we assess him. I think he's having a great first season. It would have been great if he was a complimentary striker to another striker. But what can you do? I think he's doing a good job for us up there. It's just a shame because we could have used that extra bit of, as Arsene would say, super quality. You know,
it's a good thing Theo didn't just piss off in January, huh?
All right, let's look at the bright side, right? All right. Well,
it is. I mean, no matter how much we want to joke about it, it's a bright sign.
It's a very bright sign. He's going to score 20.
Way of getting positives lately.
That's the striker we signed in January, right?
Yeah, it is. We would have went a totally different way, I think.
Yeah.
If we weren't able to extend it,
we would have forced another move. Yes, yeah. but still, we could still use one more. It's a fact that we have one center forward at the club.
Yeah.
One proper center forward.
Right.
A complete squad. Right. Yeah.
No. A complete squad has at least two center forwards. That is not a complete squad. Podolski,
we have five other players who can play there, right? That would be the excuse.
Who can play there, right. I could play there. Fucking Gervinho is center forward. All right. He can stay in the wings.
He scored more goals than you have, Joe.
he certainly has.
He's the best striker in the
African Cup of Nations.
Oh, right? My God.
That's quoted by Arsene.
I wonder if he laughed just like you did.
I'm sure he did afterwards. He just takes
it. I was crying. And someone tweeted me, you should go die because he's actually the best striker. I was like, what? What?
Arsene trolls so hard.
I know, he's such a troll.
He trolls so hard. Everybody, all the time. It's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
I can't even fathom it, man.
I guess. Well, overall, you know, we came back. I would have been nice to be. We should have still beaten them. Even with our two defensive mistakes, they created almost nothing other than the last mistake that Santos gave the ball away and then just stood there and looked at the rest of the play happen. And,
fucking ass clown.
And they almost scored. Other than that, they didn't create that whole second half.
And here's the thing. I love the cuddly Maverick. I got no problem with him. And he's played decently on occasion. But it's just, I don't know what
he's
it is.
He's gotten worse this year, not better.
You could throw confidence in as part of a factor. And
there was no problem at the beginning of the season. He lost whatever.
Well, I mean, at the beginning of the season, he wasn't playing, so he was full of confidence and jubilant. It was like Gibbs was playing, and he was the happy guy in all the pictures, and everyone loved him, you know? He was the boo-ay before the booing. But what can you do? What can you do? But the thing is, we scored both the goals in the match before, we scored the 64th or 65th and the 66th, 67th.
Yeah.
It was like 2.5 minutes between the two goals. And then there were 20... With stoppage time, there's probably 25 minutes for us to get the goal. And it really seemed at that point that it's like we were in control of the match. It was level, but we were running the show. You thought we'd get the winner.
We thought we'd see a 70th-minute substitution, which
you
never
thought
came.
So. And the thing is that we do have to question ours sometimes because, like, why weren't there any substitutions? I know there wasn't much to do. We had to make a defensive substitution early, but it's like, all right, well, there are three players that you would have considered bringing on. There was Rosicki, there was Oxlade-Chamberlain. It was their Diaby, right?
Or Chavin, even.
Or Chavin.
He wouldn't have done much.
He's still capable of a moment of brilliance. His lazy ass still could do something once in a while. But any one of those, he could do something. Yet he chooses not to make... I mean, maybe it was one of those things where he saw that...
Santos was so shit that he didn't want to expose him anymore by putting someone on that left side or something?
Not that. I mean,
Chamberlain would have made Santos look even worse.
He would have if he came in on that side. You're right. And he probably shouldn't have subbed Theo because of how he was playing.
He could have put Diaby there. He could have put Diaby on the left like he used to in 4-4-2.
He could have put Diaby in the midfield, you know, if he wanted to. But the thing is that, you know, we were still creating chances.
Right.
So I understand why. I mean, if your team's playing well, they've scored two goals this unit, they look like scoring again, you don't necessarily need to make a change. But, I mean, those two goals were scored 64th and 67th minute. You know,
maybe he expects another goal.
But he
just thought we'll score again, right, basically.
Right, so give it 15 minutes, but 80th minute, 82nd minute, make another substitution. Put in Rosicki. Put in somebody, you know. Put in somebody who can make a difference.
Well, I loved Brendan Rodgers, although his team didn't create shit all day. Once that second goal went, he got scared, shit his pants, and then
brought in Enrique.
And he was done. He was done.
Did you see his celebration when they scored? Like, what the
fuck? What the hell?
Yeah, I saw him pump his fist like no other when his goals went in. You know, I mean, that's just typical from him.
Well, you know, they're a small club scoring at the Emirates. What do you expect?
Fuck him.
Fuck him and fuck them. I still can't get past Jordan Henderson scoring at this. It's like... I don't know.
There's too many errors at the back. There's too many.
There are. But here's the funny thing. I never really thought before that the defense was the main priority in the transfer window. I understand, and I'm happy that we brought in Nacho to play left back. Because, I mean, I've seen him play before. Granted, I don't remember him too much. He wasn't memorable when I watched him play, but I knew of him. But, you know, he is, by all accounts, a solid left back, you know, for one of the better sides in La Liga. And, I mean, I think it's an astute signing. I'm glad it got moved up for one reason or another.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is that Gibbs has never been consistently fit. So, I mean, it's just one of those things. Like, this was – this right now, up until this last match, was his longest run in his Arsenal career. If not, maybe in his youth career he had a longer run. But, I mean, as part of the Arsenal first team, this is his longest run fit in the first team. Was it not? It has to be. If not the most, at least equal to the most.
I mean, in consistent appearances, yes. I think so. I think it's one of his longest runs in a long time.
Right. But I mean, in terms of fitness, when he's been in contention to play, so it's just one of those things.
Not only his longest, it's been his best form. I mean, he's been looking very, very good for us.
Yeah, he's been playing.
He doesn't make the odd mistake, but he makes up for it.
Well, he's got recovery pace that not many can account
for. Sanya has lost.
Sanya's lost a little bit of that. Sanya's lost a few things, and it's kind of... Well, here's the thing. It hasn't completely gone, because I think he played well... last week at some point. And he's been patchy. He's been very, very patchy. I still wouldn't say that Jenkinson is better than he is.
We got through it now.
I wouldn't say that yet. I think people are jumping too fast for that.
People are saying that. And here's the thing. And I know people now are saying that Sanya is only living off his reputation. It's like, well, to a certain extent, I can see your justification because his form has been patchy in comparison to him of old. But before this inconsistent patch, he has been the most consistent right back in the entire league for a series of years.
Right.
So it's tough to say.
I mean, has he lost a step? I don't know.
Because I still feel he has good recovery pace. You know, it doesn't. Maybe he's lost a tiny bit.
He's so much worse going forward than he has been. To me, that's the biggest. What I see most at the difference between this year and previous years is going forward. He's poor. I mean, his play with Theo on the right side is fine, but give him the ball, he can't cross. Not that he's ever been a great crosser.
But he's been a decent crosser.
But a decent. And did he put one cross in that got past the first defender?
I'm wondering is, Theo is drifting infield a lot these days.
I know where you're going.
And is this stopping him from making those runs? Is Theo getting greedy but going forward, or is it some kind of new lease?
I think Tim Stillen was addressing this point a couple of weeks ago because it's something that it's a fair point. Theo has done a lot of drifting into the middle because maybe he's been given that freedom by Arsene. I don't know. But it is neglecting his duty on the wing. Whereas before, when he made sure to, let's say last season, with Robin in the middle, you didn't see Theo drifting in very much at all. He played on the wing. Bakari looked good behind him. They've always saw it on the right. When back didn't look that great, it was when he had Ox playing in front of him, and it was just still similar this season. Ox playing in front of Sanya exposes him because you don't have that protection. Like, Ox has got to raise that side of his game, you know, significantly because he's not doing well there.
That's fair, but I don't know. There was about 8 instances where Sanya had the ball with space and couldn't get the ball in. That's not Theo. That's him.
That's Sanya. The slip wasn't Theo's fault, but
you know, I I haven't given up on Sanya at all. I mean, he's been such a great player, and we still see. He's, like you said, he's maybe a little patchy. We've seen the patches of good, though, too. So,
I mean, he's been a lot more good than he's been bad, you know? I don't know. And maybe he'll be gone in the summer, maybe not. I, for one, would like to see him stay at least one more season.
Yeah.
At the very least.
We need the experience. If we've got someone like Jenkinson, we need the experience. I don't care if he's not a winner. We need the experience. He's a great – he has been a great right back, so –
I would honestly keep Sanya through next season and let him leave on a Bosman at the end because his resale value, he's a right back. You don't command big money for them. He's going to be 30 years old, you know? Keep him until the end of his contract. You know, if you don't want to renew his contract, then so be it, but keep him until the end. Let's try to win something next season. What a fucking concept.
Right backs after 31, 32, they, other than Zanetti, who's like, I don't know how he still plays. They expire at 31, 32 anyway, so.
But knowing the club and the board, they'll probably sell him to Real Madrid, flog him for $10 million while they can get any money for him. But
$10 million, wow!
I think it'd be
eight. All right. Granted, he's only got 1 year left on his contract. Yeah. Maybe 8, whatever. So I'm like Clichy, right? Clichy. What did we sell Clichy for?
So we're closing for 7.
Yeah.
Senny's a lot better than Clichy, though. Let's give him that. Over his career.
Over his career? Yeah.
Over his career. Let's give Senny a little more credit. He's a little better than Clichy. Well, I was going to say less dodgy hair, but that's a bit of a joke. That is, never
not
mind.
Not really.
Compared to Clichy's perm, whatever he had a few months back. What was that? He had a little part going? I don't even know.
He had something weird going on with it.
Something hair. Sketchy. Yeah. So, gentlemen, how do you feel about it? So, we have not made up any ground.
We didn't make any ground. We're still four points behind fourth place.
Right.
Obviously not an insurmountable number of points.
No, but we did.
But there are two teams ahead of us for that spot, not just one.
Which makes a big difference.
Which is a lot more difficult.
And so Everton did win their match, so they didn't gain ground on us, but they extended their lead ahead of us.
The only thing that kind of favors us looking at the schedule is that who we have left. We have United at home. Hell, who knows?
City at home?
No, we're done. We're done with City. We're done with Chelsea.
City, we lost. Oh, shit.
We have Everton, Spurs, and United.
So basically, we have two six-pointers. Everton and Spurs.
Right.
Spurs away, yeah?
Spurs away,
which will be a tough match.
It'll be one of the biggest games of the season.
Yeah. And we have Everton at home?
No, I think that one might be away to also.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, so we have Everton also.
I mean, and those are the... Well, those are the ones that should be tough. We obviously know that every game for us is tough.
We can make any match tough, all right?
I mean, we made a shit run at the end of the season.
We're going to make Norwich at home easy run, tough.
And it ended up being tough.
But the thing is that those teams, let's get to the transfer window, because we haven't seen... as much as we're disappointed with the fact that Arsenal haven't done too much, there wasn't much action across the board, right?
No. Spurs brought Holtby in 5 months early.
Big fucking deal.
Big deal. They still have they have two strikers. So one of them is the African Cup of Nations, and the other one's hurt.
So yeah. what Defoe did a hamstring?
Dempsey up front, probably. Or Dembele.
Yeah, probably Dempsey.
See, Spurs, they wanted to bring Damião, okay? And they couldn't bring him in because... Apparently the fee was too low.
Because they're Spurs. Because they've been trying to get him for two or three windows.
And he said, I'm waiting until a big club tries to sign
me. On August 31st, they said, well, they made a big push for him, and maybe they'll get him in January. And now they're saying the exact same thing. If they had the money, he'd go. But they obviously don't.
They don't have the money, and Demiao probably
might not just be about the money, though, because, like, for example, with David Villa... They bid 17 million for him in Man City today. And they didn't get him. We bid 12, apparently.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Did they really? Do we know? I mean, I know. We can read all sorts of shit. Do we really know? Did City really bid 17 million? I don't know. I mean, it's tough. It's tough to say. I mean, I see all this shit speculated, but I mean, who really knows what was really done?
Yeah, we certainly don't.
And I
certainly don't either.
And I mean, I would think, look, if we take those figures into account, if I were Barcelona and I were offered 17 million, I probably would take it. But, you know, based on their league position, they don't really need to do it. They enjoy having him as an option off the bench. He might not enjoy it. I'm sure he was ready to leave if the right move came in. But, and if I were him, I'd probably prefer to go to Arsenal over Spurs. I mean, Arsenal over City, just because of playing time.
Playing time, yeah.
He may be a great striker, which he is, but he'd still be behind Aguero. At least, and they play a one-striker.
Probably, right.
So I mean, it's like, just oh,
tennis.
It's like
he'll be fighting with Dzeko for.
Yeah, you're fighting over 70 minutes. Yeah, you're fighting with Dzeko over time. You know, it's like that's all you're going to get. Whereas at Arsenal, he'd get playing time. So obviously, you know where he probably would want to go to, but it's all speculation. I mean, who knows if City really bid that much or not? But I mean, obviously, Barcelona are in a position, although greatly in debt. I mean, the Spanish banks won't do shit to them, so apparently it doesn't matter how much in debt they are.
Well, it's basically the U.S. with the banks. Couldn't shut down the banks, right? So you just let the debt the debt go.
The thing is, it makes sense for Barcelona to let him leave because he only has 18 months left on his contract.
Damn.
He's 31.
They don't care about money.
he's a 31-year-old striker. Like that value is not going up.
They don't care about return.
They don't care. Yeah,
no, they keep giving us money for players. Other than one, I mean, they keep giving us money for players that they overvalue. So money doesn't seem to be an object. You know, but going back to Spurs, didn't really improve. I mean, they got another player.
I think Everton tried to buy a guy called Fair. Did you guys see
that?
Yeah,
we saw that.
And that fell through. I thought Chelsea or us were going to buy Fellaini. Obviously, that... No, that happened either.
Everton vetoed that deal, right? Once they found out that he tried to buy a horse for his girlfriend who lived in a flat.
It was his knee. Apparently, there was something with his medical. They wanted to redo the installment payments.
Check his labias?
Yeah. They checked his... Yes. And then the whoever who he's playing for now basically said no. And that's where it ended. And then I guess they supposedly made a bid for Negredo today, to get, or earlier, and but he was busy playing in a semifinal.
Speculation.
So, I mean, they didn't improve either. They have what they have.
I think it's interesting that with all of the money Chelsea have, they went for Bar. Are they, A, know that, Falcao is not available in this January transfer window, or B... Are they going to wait for Falcao in the summer and get rid of Torres?
Option A. They know they're not winning the title this season. They're obviously not winning the Champions League.
Right.
So, and yeah.
So why spend the money?
And Falcao is not available because technically, Atletico are in the air. Well, they're still ahead of Real. They're still in the champions hunt for La Liga, technically.
Yeah, I think
they're still alive in the semifinal of the Copa del Rey. They've got big aspirations. Atletico don't need to sell. They're going to wait till summer.
He'll be gone this summer.
I mean, if you were Chelsea, if you were buying a center forward and Falcao was the top of your shopping list and you had nothing to win this season, and you look pretty safe because the teams below you are pretty fucking lackluster, you're going to get third, at the very worst, fourth in the league. Then yeah, you bring in Demba Ba.
At the very worst, sixth.
last season. This is not the same team. Last season they finished where they deserved. The fucking lucky ass Champions League bullshit saving there.
I'll get back to Chelsea, but who we're competing with really for that fourth spot? Neither of those teams improved.
True, and that's all that matters.
And so, we should be happy with that. We improved much better than they did.
We did. We should have improved more.
We obviously should have improved more. We all know we need more signings.
We need a striker.
So how do you feel about this gamble though? I mean, because here's the thing: like, you would feel if we had brought in, just fucking rolling the dice. All right, so rolling the fucking dice.
Seven again.
No matter how much I want to protect the club and the image and whatever, it's a big, big gamble.
The thing is, we always know Arsene wants to believe in his players. He's like a father, which is to a fault. He wants to believe that they can get it done, and maybe they can. Maybe we'll pull a rabbit out of a hat again, but I mean, it's just the law of averages, man. We're not going to pull it out every fucking time.
But what is the risk, really, of us not qualifying for next year?
It's a just big risk.
Year. What? What, though?
£20 million?
Okay, we have this £180 million in the bank.
So fucking spend £20 million on a player that improves your squad.
But wait a minute. He believes he can still get fourth, and if he doesn't, what's the risk?
It's called...
Because don't tell me we're buying players that are only going to come for the Champions League.
We lose stature. Yeah, no, that is a factor.
It's a fact, but not the players that we keep buying.
Well, yeah, it is for
That's
some.
That's true, actually.
No, but
not
it
for
is
the majority
for
of players we keep
really?
Buying.
Who we sign? So you're saying Santi Cazorla would have signed for a non-Champions League club to come to England? Would he have?
With what his wages that he's getting paid?
No, but I'm saying would Santi or would have Podolski came to a team that didn't have Champions League?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Oh, look.
But look at the teams they played for. That kind of gives you we didn't buy these teams.
Hold on. Malaga are in the Champions League.
But they were in financial trouble. It's the same reason.
Well,
it
doesn't matter financial or not. I'm saying he was on a team that was in the Champions League, and Podolski always knew he could go to a Champions League team. He knew he was of the caliber he could play there. He was at Bayern Munich before, the biggest team in Germany. He could go to a Champions League team. Whether it be Arsenal or a team in a different country.
We talked about what these players are, about what these players were when we got them, about their age, about them not looking to move on after this.
Yeah.
We're not looking. I mean, I don't think the players that, for the most part, we're in for, the Champions League is the be-all, end-all.
But that's a huge lure. Because if you take it into account, the fact that there are other players,
we've been getting,
but that's been like a levying factor because there's been other players who come here for less spectacular wages, because what do they get? They get Champions League every season. They play in one of the best venues in England.
So they can move on to other clubs.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Oh, wait. Well, all right. Let's not say that's not why. Maybe that's why Nasri came here. Maybe that's Nasri. That's a good example.
Right.
But that's not why Van Persie came here initially.
Well, yeah, but we're,
that's not why. That's not why Fabregas age. Came here.
That's a different that's not, age.
Well, right, it's a different it's age. Not, but
both
I'm saying,
of those are different ages and different times and
okay,
different teams.
Okay, so all right, so all right,
I don't think Podolski or Giroud or Cazorla will move on to a different club in the Premiership.
I don't think so either, and it's different. I mean, Giroud would have came here anyway.
Right, but obviously, he's got
a different story.
He's the example of the player that we're gonna buy again.
But Chelsea were after him. Chelsea were after Giroud. And Chelsea were after this player, Nacho, and they didn't get him.
Yeah, but they weren't after him right now. I mean, they said Chelsea inquired about him over the past year. But that's all fucking speculation. Do we really know what was up?
No,
I mean, I don't know.
We'll
we're just speculating. Yeah, apparently Chelsea were in for
Maybe
Nacho
they came for the manager.
Yeah, more than likely.
Maybe they came for the manager, too.
Maybe they came.
But let's make sure. I mean, you know, that's part of...
So let's get,
I mean, part of the thing is... If we don't get fourth place and...
I'll cry.
The supporters have... Well, so I mean, I won't be happy, but it's not the end of the world.
It is.
It's going to suck, but it's not the
end of the world. I've never known Arsenal out of the Champions League.
I don't think it's the end of the world either. It's going to suck. It's going to be horrible. I'm going to hate it, but...
Fuck you. This club's fuck
had
you.
So many worse days.
You're
than
cool.
And some
fuck you.
Stupid ass... I mean,
yes, I know, but I just like the worst thing is that if it happens, you'll know how avoidable it was, and that's the worst thing. That's a damning fact for Arsenal,
yes.
Also, because
yes,
everybody knows
right.
That if he signed a fucking striker or a dominating midfielder during this window, then you would be like, all right. That's enough to get over the line. They'll get fourth place. And if he doesn't, even if it wouldn't have happened, everyone's always going to question it. Like, why didn't you buy? Because you should have. And everybody knew. It's not like it's windows in the past. The consensus amongst fans, journalists, pundits, ex-players was that Arsenal needed to buy one or two more players. At least another striker. At least another midfielder. Something of that sort. And we bought one defender. Now, I'm happy with the purchase we made. But the deficiencies in the squad are obvious to everybody. And if we come up short, the brunt of the blame is all going to go on Arsen, and rightfully so. Look, I defend this man
over and over again. It's the same. But this argument, although it may be at its greatest Everest point right now, is no different than we needed to buy in the last four January windows.
It's a little different. Fourth place wasn't always as big of a risk during the 4 years prior.
We hung on for fourth on two or three of those.
On two of those. And a couple of them we fell out of, like, second place and fell down to fourth and this and that.
Right, but I'm
saying... We weren't mired in sixth place and...
Yeah, but in those, he took the blame for not winning us the league when it was winnable.
Right.
But he took the blame.
Yeah, but still, it's different than dropping out of Champions League places. I mean, it cost us that, but we were still in the Champions League. So it's a different level, but we're risking turning into Liverpool.
We have a better stadium than Liverpool.
Better squad.
We have a better manager than Liverpool. We have a better squad than Liverpool. Only drop. I mean, look.
I know, but you know what I'm saying. Look, I mean, the fall from grace, the falling out of the top four, the falling out of content. Like no one, when people talk about the big four, they don't talk. Liverpool is no longer in contention at all. They don't talk about it.
Right. No, I know.
Is that what you want to be?
But I don't think we're gonna be that.
Well, we're gonna be the fifth place team that narrowly missed out on Champions League. I'm not saying. Look, I still have faith this team will finish fourth. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. But I still think we'll get it done. I do. I truly believe we'll get it done. But
you know, the
I'm
summer
fucking
transfers,
scared.
The summer targets. Okay. Say we get two. Say this happens. Say we get two big players that finally. Okay. Like for example, you heard speculation today about Jovetic and blah blah blah. All this crap. Okay. Say we get something of that mold, and a great defender, and get rid of Scalaggi, for example, in the summer. And say we finish fifth. Do you still think we'll get those players in the summer, or do you think they'll not come to us because we're fifth?
No. All right, if you're really trying to sign a guy like Jovetic or...
Matt Hummels, or, for example. All right, hold on.
None of those darn players are ever going anymore. So no Götze, no Hummels, no David Villa. Even if Villa would come in the summer, he won't come if we're not in the Champions League. There are look what happened to Tottenham. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what happens to teams that aren't in the Champions League. There are some players that will turn it down. Like, I've argued this before that, you know, Chelsea wouldn't have been able to sign a couple of the players they got in this pack. Look, Eden Hazard was never talking about Chelsea until they won the Champions League. And he's like, I'm going to the Champions League winners. It makes a difference. Yeah, no. You know, he's a greedy cunt. But remember, he was talking about going to Tottenham when they were still in a Champions League spot, you know, back then. As soon as they were out of reckoning and Chelsea won, all of a sudden he's like, well, I'm going to go to a team that plays in the Champions League. And that could make it, especially if we're trying to make the marquee signing, that's going to make a big difference.
But
that's what I'm saying. But he mentioned Jovetic and players like that. I mean, if we're going to bring in a player of that kind of caliber.
But we signed Dennis Bergkamp when we weren't in those kind of marquee positions.
That was like fucking eons ago. Like that's so long ago now, in relative terms of the way the business and the market is.
Still waiting to see.
It's just so.
Jovetic is.
But I mean, like, it's even though it was only, what, all right, we signed him, what, 17 years ago? 17, well, I guess 18 years ago now, almost 17 and a half. But imagine how different it was back then. Also, there was no oil money. There's so many determining factors. You know, in this day and age, if we went to go sign, if City scouts learned we were trying to sign Bergkamp, you know, from Italy, they would come in and swoop him up for they'd pay double the wages and three halves of the transfer fee, right? I mean, that's the way the market works now. It's just a whole different beast. So. You know, I don't see us getting a Bergkamp.
No, we don't
ever.
We don't do that, though.
We don't.
We make them. I don't know how we. I mean, that's what
I know.
He
it
does.
Is. It is,
and that's how we're. That's,
he makes most of them, but I mean, we've just bought a 26-year-old left back who is Spain's second best left back.
All right, so let's move on to positive things. We have a Spanish international left back, widely regarded as the second best left back in Spain. And playing in Spain and also of Spain, right? A lot of people are saying that he is only behind Jordi Alba as a solid left back in La Liga. I think it's a very astute signing. I'm actually surprisingly excited about it because we only found out about it today.
Yeah.
And we didn't.
Apparently,
nobody knew.
He's a good crosser, and he stays back in defense properly.
I mean, he looks like a good left back. Look, I've seen him play several times, but the thing is, he never stood out to me. But I guess he never stood out for a bad way either, in the sense that, I mean, he was playing in a good side and played well. And, you know, he is Champions League cup tied, which is a shame. But to be perfectly honest, we probably only have two games left in the Champions League. If more, it's all going to be a bonus, which I'll be.
Just play Vermaelen in there for one game.
Right. You play Vermaelen there for two matches and then, you know, and hope maybe we can get through. And if we do, then you stay with him and you stay with him at left back. And that'll be the way our run in the Champions League goes, you know. So be it. And actually, if we progress past that round, Gibbs will be fit, in theory, to play left back after that. So, you know, you get through a two-legged tie with them, with Vermaelen playing left back, and then you're back to square one, and, you know, we move on.
I hate that left back, putting him in left back.
You hate it?
I hate it.
Why?
Because we did that last season, we ended up losing, you know, we ended up getting our center back's injuries towards the end of the year, and it helps us fall apart like we did last year.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we don't want to have to do that. But, I mean, if it comes to, all right, we have signed a left back. If he only has to play there for this fixture, it's not the biggest deal.
Are we winning the Champions League?
Maybe. Chelsea won last season.
We have 10% chance of winning something. Right.
We don't have Drogba.
All right, we don't have Drogba. Listen, we have Giroud.
And we don't have a defense that's going to lock everybody up.
Shut up.
Okay. So the answer is no.
I hate your face.
The answer is no. I mean, basically, at this point, we're looking for hopefully a great tie against Bayern. If we can beat Bayern in the next five games,
we'll see whether we'll finish fourth or not.
Yeah, I think by the time the Bayern tie is done, we will know. But
I hope the squad is. I know it was only one signing, and I know it wasn't Villa or Fellaini or whoever else. I hope. Even with the one signing, with the quality that he has, excites him. You know.
Well, you.
I mean, because here's the thing:
I hope so. I
mean,
really hope
I'm
so.
Sure there's times where they're looking on the bench and going, "Who the fuck is going to help us now?"
You know, there's nobody there.
Well, that's one of the problems. At the weekend, we had no strikers on the bench.
We don't need a striker.
Yes, we fucking do.
No, we don't.
Look, our bench options were Arshavin, which no one cares
about. Why didn't you get Ba? Why didn't you get Ba? He was available for 15 million pounds.
Our options on the bench were Arshavin, Diaby.
But what about Ba?
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. Even attacking, remotely attacking, Arshavin, Diaby, Oxlade-Chamberlain, and Rosicky. There's no striker amongst them.
He's in Africa. He's going to end up stabbing me by the end of it.
You're going to get shanked, bitch. I can't handle this. Don't play with my emotions. Don't fuck with me, Jorginho, the best striker in Africa. Arson, I'm going to kill your trolling ass.
I have no good argument for not buying additional players. I don't know anybody who does. I don't know anybody. Like what you'd like to talk about, like no commentator, no writer, no ex-player. Nobody has said we didn't need more players.
At least most of them agree that this fullback is a good decision as opposed to Santos last year, who was like, he's a bargain bin defender from the Turkish league.
I'm just saying that we didn't.
No,
and
we
it's
didn't.
A big risk.
We haven't.
And for whatever reason, they're willing to take that risk. I don't know. I wouldn't take it.
It's all on Arson. And to be perfectly honest, I mean, if it weren't for the fact that he were untouchable, I'd say it's fourth or he's fired. To be honest,
right, but he's untouchable.
He's untouchable.
He doesn't. If he finishes fifth,
because he does. He does what the board wants.
Right, he makes money.
He does
a lot of it, and it sits in the bank.
But I think he should know that he basically, in theory, put his own neck on the line. And to be perfectly honest,
he does it all the time.
He does it every week.
He has done it all the time, and he does it all the time. But, I mean, if he fails, look, I've never said this before. If he fails after this window and not doing that, then he deserves the axe. That's it. I'm just saying that, like, if he, like, I have faith that they're still going to do it. I think we will finish fourth place.
I think if when you take things completely – I mean, because all we're talking about is getting a striker and a defender or a midfielder, and it would get us fourth. I mean, that's what we're looking for, right? Because it's not going to get us
third.
The title.
Could get third.
Okay, it could save us a round of qualifying.
Yeah, it could.
Which is great because you know going in.
Right.
But is that worth what it would have taken to get the players that we needed? I mean, I don't know. How much would it cost? How much was the bid for Villa? Allegedly 12, 15?
12, 15, yeah.
And then how much for a midfielder? I don't know which one. Not Fellaini, because we know it would be 30, but another guy like that? 15?
I mean, yeah, whatever.
So is that 30 million pounds?
No, if you say what, if you sign two players. I'm just saying if you signed one more player, right?
So if it was just a striker. If it was Villa for
look,
15,
look, right.
Is that one player all the difference between where we are now and fourth?
It certainly could be.
Again, it could
depends
be.
On how many goals he scores. Right. I mean, it's all fucking speculative, but the thing is that
he doesn't score unless Giroud isn't playing, who is apparently is getting picked first.
Villa can also play in the wings.
He's been really, really good.
No, I think he's been playing well. I mean, I like what I've seen from him. You know, he could be a little more clinical, but it just comes with time, and he's a good player.
What everyone's worrying about is when Giroud is off form, and we are looking to the bench for striking options, that's when it's going to look very bleak.
Or if he's not fit, Theo becomes our center forward. That's not a day I want to see.
Well, but still, it doesn't feel right in the head, I guess.
You want to have another true center forward to be able to play there. So that's the concern. So, right, as things stand, if Giroud's fit week in, week out, the entire rest of the season, we're okay. Yeah.
You just jinxed the entire fucking country.
counting on Arsenal players to stay fit all season, am I fucking crazy? It's a mess. It's a mess.
It's a very big risk. I'm not happy with the risk, but I knew what it was going to be.
I'm not happy with the risk at all. I understand it in ways, but it's an unhealthy risk to take, considering our position.
It's unhealthy. It's unhealthy on so many levels. Anyway. It's unhealthy with the season ticket holders. It's unhealthy with it's honestly it's unhealthy
for the players to have to go out there and when they for whatever reason they're not playing well and it's a draw and it's the 70th minute or again it's at halftime and they're getting booed because of the pressure they're under because you won't sign additional players. I think that's really unfair.
Yeah, and I mean, but that's part of that's the supporters' fault too. You know, I mean, is it unfair expectations? You know,
I mean, part of it might be, but
it could be. There's a various amount of things going on in the back. I think, you know, I was trying to say earlier that Arsenal fans have to worry about so much compared to other people. I mean, we worry about player wages, about philosophies of football clubs. We have a transfer complex and selling developed stars and buying young. We worry about billionaire ownership, history, public accounts, private accounts, management style, media treatment, ticket prices, supporter hierarchy, Twitter, plastic football fans, Facebook, trolls, chairman, board member policy attitudes, rivalries, crowd behavior, youth policy, injuries. We're the only team that actually looks at the injury league. You know, we have so much shit going on.
First world problems, man. Most of these problems have been developed by the development of social media and the way it's. I mean, we take it a little too far, to be honest. I mean, because think about it. Think about it years ago when you were younger, before Twitter, before all this. I mean, you wouldn't take it this seriously, and it is just football in the end.
I mean, the pressure builds from us, and then the questions are probably different than they used to be. Also, you know, from the journalists, and then it adds pressure in the questions that are asked to the manager, and there's more pressure and more pressure. You know, I mean, it's not. I try to have perspective. I always do. That's why my perspective is, it's not the worst thing that's going to happen.
Yeah, not a.
It sucks. I don't want it to happen because I want us. I would like us to get a marquee player, but.
I haven't seen it.
You know what? But you know what though? Kudos to Arsene though. None of the ITKs or any of those douchebags had any idea about the signing until it actually happened today. So, well done to Arsene with his tactics of keeping that shit secret for a long, long time. Because I do believe this is you know it's been in the works to a certain extent for a while, and he got it down until the guy was on a. Flying over for a medical before anyone actually noticed it because that rumor didn't start up until, you know, hours, before, you know, what, five yeah. hours, five, 6 hours before the deadline. So, I mean, they're trying to work their way around it because it's, you know, it's a different world. Everyone's snapping photos of the airport, watching everyone coming in and out of every building. You know,
Who does West Brom play this weekend? Because I want to watch. Odemwingie line up
on Odemwingie.
All right. So I missed the story. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. So did he drive from Birmingham down to London to go try to force a deal through?
All the way down to London, Bromwich is like 20 miles from Birmingham anyway. But yeah, he drove all the way down, and then he got there, and then they didn't let him through the gates. He just went through. The front and spoke to journalists, telling about how he loves West Brom and how he wants to leave to QPR. And he spoke about Harry Redknapp speaking to him and stuff. And apparently, he wasn't even invited to go there. No one let him in.
And then I saw like three tweets from West Brom, their official account, saying that he hadn't been given permission, and it was explaining the situation. And then I guess he left, and then he showed up again. So there was plenty of jokes, but
what a class act!
But I guess trying to force a move by going down to the club.
I'm here.
Well, they were signing everybody else. Maybe he thought they wouldn't notice.
Yeah. I'll take 100K.
They wouldn't notice.
How many players have they signed in the last 2 years?
Can we give a special shout-out to Harry Redknapp for doing his best to bankrupt a billionaire-funded club? I mean, I mean, he's done some terrible deals over the days. I mean, I guess it doesn't matter so much if Tony Fernandez is the owner. But
here's the thing. Is he always know there's another club? He's just gonna bail out his previous club. He did that. He's done that with. He keeps bringing these players along with him.
Oh yeah.
And so the previous club doesn't lose that much money. He just puts it onto the next one. He's like Ponzi scheming his way through the transfer window.
Just moves the burden, shifts it along. But I mean, look, Christopher Samba on 100K a week for 4 years. How old's Chris Samba? You know,
he's not that old. He looks old.
He's 28.
He's an old soul.
He's an old soul. He reminds me of that guy from Lost, the big Nigerian.
He's old and feels a little tree, whatever it's called. I don't know.
Whatever it is. But I mean, but so he's been at ANZI making big money at ANZI, I know. Yeah. But he came back to London for $100K a week over 4 years as a 28-year-old defender that's not really all that special, right? He was with Blackburn and...
We were after him.
in theory. Just like we were after fucking Cahill, right?
Right. Well, what I like... Scott. Well, and Jagielka, right?
Scott Dan.
Scott Dan. Fucking anybody. Throw your name out there. Well, and then you wonder why you're forced to pay Theo Walcott $100K a week.
Because guys like Chris Samba and Julio Cesar getting paid $100K from QPR.
Right.
Well... That's what happens. That's why you got to adjust to the market.
Right. But I think what they bring in, like 24 players, 25 players this window?
17.
And I don't...
October?
How many did they ship out? Because, I mean, I know they shipped out, like, Ferdinand and...
Where did Ferdinand go?
He went to Bursaspor.
Yeah, on the loan.
On loan. Fair enough. On loan, so you can still collect the fat wages from them.
Yeah. I think teams need to do something about player wages, because if we don't, it's going to be a cycle.
They can't really do anything. It's just, you know, free market.
You can't
do anything about it.
There's no governing body. I mean, FIFA's useless. I mean, look at them and corruption.
But it's just going to make the tickets at the Emirates cost a lot more than they need to be. It's just the player wages, because it's operating costs. That's all it is.
Yeah, but well, why does it happen with the other clubs? I mean, they're just because they're oil-backed? I mean, it's going to happen everywhere, right?
I mean, it did. I mean, City's away ticket for us, they said, was like 61. It was a pound cheaper than what they got charged for going to the Emirates.
Right.
You know, it's not
It's not going to change. I mean, the trend is screwing over everybody, basically. It's not going to get any better.
That type of scheme with the different clubs at, you know, different levels of clubs at different schemes, it goes on here. It's
in Germany, they stopped it, kind of. They have a lot of, their tickets are much cheaper than ours in Germany.
Yeah, but they don't have any, other than, they don't have any Russian billionaires inflating the market there.
Something, yeah, and that's the problem. We need to get these people out.
But they don't.
But good luck. I mean, who turns down money, right? These clubs, these people, the owners, right? They're going to sell these clubs. I mean, that's just how it is.
Prostitutes turn down money.
Well, there's always an exception to the rule. But for all the rest of these whores, they're going to sell out. As you've seen over and over again, right? I mean, you would have never thought how long has City had money? I don't know. 6-7 years ago. You never would have thought that City would be a team.
6 years.
You never would have thought that City would be a team to be bought up. And I mean, I guess there's potential. They had a big stadium and they're next to Manchester United. But you never would have thought that, like, I mean, City were a perennial bottom of the Premier League, yo-yoing back between the Premiership and the Championship for years, you know?
Down to the third division, even.
Right. Yeah, I mean, no one would have thought that. I mean, even look at QPR. When was the last time they were up in the Premier League? A while.
It's been a while.
It's been a while.
14 years ago, maybe.
Right. But I'm saying, yeah, they've been there before, but I mean, not in recent history. You know, they haven't spent many years.
I would have figured they maybe would have bought a different club with maybe a stronger history behind it. You know,
right. Well, that's also why it makes sense, right? They probably, part of the reason why they bought these clubs is because they got them, the value of the clubs is pretty low. Right, either bought a Premiership or Championship. I think it makes the most sense the way Tony Fernandez did. It bought a team in the Championship and brought, you know, a London club and brought them up.
But I would have bought something like Leeds or Nottingham Forest to find the money.
I was thinking about Forest, you know, just because, you know, the previous glory that they had.
Right.
Yeah.
And still not so far down, you know,
in the league.
Yeah. You can see it. But what can you do? But this is the market and the league that we live in now. I mean, so
it's, but overall, there wasn't that much transfer activity other than QPR trying to save its ass. And
City
didn't
get a striker, which is surprising.
Yeah.
Did City buy anybody?
No.
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 United, yeah, zero. No
did,
one.
Did United buy anybody?
Zaha
after the season.
Yeah. Right. So not really. Not for this season, they didn't buy anybody. Yeah.
And Chelsea?
Well,
Chelsea bought Ba.
So, yeah, there really wasn't much action. I mean, we in theory, could have been much further behind if had there been more action. But, you know, Januaries don't tend to be that prolific in terms of a lot of shit happening.
Well, I mean, to be honest, the summer for the teams in the league weren't that busy.
We had one of the biggest. Well, United were busy enough. They took our best play. They took the best play.
That's all they needed.
That's all they needed. Well, they got Kagawa also, but
he hasn't played Burnley. They hate him. My friends, the United fans, they hate Kagawa.
No, he's been playing well lately since he just came back.
What is their
They hate him because he wasn't fit for months.
Why do they hate him?
Compared to Nani and Valencia, they don't think he's playing good enough. But he doesn't play that position.
Really?
He hasn't played accomplished it cleverly, being the best thing. I don't know.
Is that the xenophobia talking?
Yeah, it's xenophobia. Of course it is.
Cleverly's better.
Yeah.
These are probably
Cleverly is much better. Oh my God.
These are the same United fans who say that Cleverly's better than Wilshere, right?
Yeah.
I think Wilshere's Welsh, probably.
W.
It's Welshere.
Yeah, Wilshere.
Go figure. Well, it was an eventful week. The transfer window is shut. We've got, what do you have at the weekend?
Stoke
at home.
The Neanderthals come to visit.
Yes.
Oh my God.
They've been giving up.
Rapidly to score a hat trick.
Yeah. Oh man. That would be fantastic. They've shipped a lot more goals this season than they have in previous years.
Yeah, they're a little more shit. And now they brought
Pony Boy.
They brought in Pony Boy. Pony Boy Curtis, the golden locks. Breck Shea, the former Arsenal trainee.
Yeah, he was on a two-week trial, I think.
Arsenal reject. Yeah, no, he's... I heard he gave a great interview on Sky Sports today, from what I hear.
Oh.
He could barely put together a sentence, which fits. I mean, going up to the Neanderthals, I think maybe he did it just to fit in.
Yeah.
You don't have Sky Sports News, do you?
We do, actually. Yeah. And, do. Well, they show it on Fox Soccer Channel here. They show it a couple times a day, but... I wasn't home during the day to watch it.
Yeah, I logged online.
On transfer deadline day, they play it on repeat, just the way you get it in the UK, and it's four or 5 hours of it straight.
Sky had this reporter outside Stoke near the Britannia, and he was surrounded by a crowd of like Neanderthals, and one dude was just taking off his shirt and licking his nipples and shit, and everyone's going, they're fucking crazy. One guy was calling his mom. He's like, hey, mom. They're so stupid. It's unbelievable.
Wasn't there
this is during the live reporting, by the way.
They're a special.
Wasn't there a picture crowd. At
yeah,
at Spurs.
A picture of zombies. It's so funny.
At Spurs, and then another guy was dry humping somebody else in the background.
I missed it. But Stoke are a special place. They now house a couple of our Americans, which is a fucking shame.
Yeah, but,
it's weird, isn't it, for you guys?
They're cheap.
That's what it is. They now have Jeff Cameron and Breck Shea.
Yeah.
Pony Boy, I wish you well.
Breck Shea could be something special.
I don't know.
For American, anyway.
He's a little simple. Yeah, for an American. That's the justification. They would have rationalized it, yeah.
Well, I mean, if he was good enough, we would have. I mean, yeah. I think, you know, Arsenal would have bought him for... a nickel. I mean, it's not... It, I mean, that
a million, cheap. Yeah. We would have got him for cheap and then made him something even better. He would have been the next Gareth Bale.
Well, he cost, what, 4 million? Is that right?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I believe his price was 4 million.
So we must... I mean, must not have saw anything in that 2 weeks worth of keeping.
Nothing that special. I've got questions about his mentality. I don't think it's...
He's got great size, but...
Yeah, don't Americans peak late? Or is it just me?
Well, they come out... Well, here's the thing is they go to college.
It's different because they come through high school. They don't play through an academy necessarily coming up.
Freddie Adu, who picked at 17.
Well, Freddie Adu 14. Came over, was playing in the MLS at 14. Hold on. Quotation marks. 14.
Is he Nigerian or Ghanaian?
He's Ghanaian. You know, yeah, he was probably 17 at the time.
He's probably 24.
You know, fucking Yakubu and shit. You know, you never know how old these guys are.
That's why he's...
He came over with a Nigerian... He's Ghanaian, but he came over with a Nigerian birth certificate, so... You can't trust it. He's probably Kanu's age.
Yeah, so he's kind of fell off. But yeah, you know...
Yeah, I mean, he never grew. He was at full height at 14.
In general, the... MLS Super Draft, those kids are coming out at 21, 22 years old before they even get on, you know, a professional contract, which what isn't much for someone coming out of that draft.
But they generally come
That's stopping the American Football League developing in a big way. They should have schools dedicated to football and academic stuff.
Here's the thing. Yes, they should. However, if you do that, then the NC2A will have an issue because they're the FIFA of college sports, and they're corrupt, and they take all the money, and they don't allow the kids to have a free market for themselves.
It's a whole different system.
And also the system is set up for kids to pay to play here. You know what I mean? It's not set up for development so that one day maybe the club will benefit too. It's basically you pay to play, you pay for training, you pay.
There are movements for the professional clubs here to develop academies and do stuff like that, and there's the Generation Adidas stuff. But, I mean, it's just not developed enough, and we are behind, especially Europe, and Europe and South America.
We're
really
way behind.
Because generally the players get a later start, and they don't progress at the same rate because of what they get into.
Until the clubs here can sell someone for £20 million, they won't see the benefit in order to make that investment in the kids. There's just no, they won't do it because they'd rather, you know.
But the problem is they're going young and they're going to the European market when they're young and cheap before they're even developed. And they're obviously going to develop better at the European market anyway. So
I mean, I think the highest priced player we could have sold would have been Landon Donovan about 3 years ago when he first went on loan to Everton. We probably could have got £10 million or so for him had Everton not been cheap as fuck, and you know that's what it could have been.
Right.
But even then, there's still issues like the league isn't willing to sell for great prices a lot of times. I mean, the MLS tries to hold ransom for a lot of these players. You know,
they tried to ransom.
Yeah, they try to do that. And so all these guys have to wait out their contracts before they go because the league won't let them go for a marginal or a substandard fee, I guess.
Or you got other kids that, you know, the kids that maybe they can already see, they try to head out before they get 15, 14. Yeah.
So Stoke at the weekend. What are we going to do? Are we going to wipe the floor with these Neanderthals? Give me a prediction. Joseph,
right now. 3-1?
4-0.
4-0. Fuck the Stokies. They're goddamn nipple-licking.
We have a signing. I'm pumped. We got a signing. I'm pumped.
Yeah. I'm going to go Nacho to score all 7 goals.
The thing is, you know what? This game is important. Every game is important. But this, if they don't play well, I mean, he's probably told them, you guys, I didn't fucking buy anyone. You guys are going to have to play like fucking Zeus out there. Like, there's no way they're going to lose that game. They can't.
They can't. You're absolutely right. They can't.
Well, and Ramsey deserves another start. He has something to prove against the Stokies. I'm going to call him Stokies
right now. Against them. Yeah.
The Potters.
He's in that spot, he's played well.
Those dirty little potheads.
You know, I heard some complaining about him, you know, finally maybe playing him there in that spot. But we had Arteta before, so what were you going to do? Play him there?
No, but I mean, you know, he's playing well. He's playing
well.
Better than Arteta plays sometimes, to be honest. And the thing is, if you play him in his rightful position, which I never thought was attacking center mid, I think it's either box to box or as. I don't really see him as a holding midfielder, but I think he can play as
deep line. I call him deep line midfielder.
Say it again.
He's like a very very young, less quality Perlo.
Yeah, in a sense, he can play that deep lying midfielder, yes. But I mean, he maybe in like in a double pivot, you know, with two midfielders holding back, he can be there alongside someone. I feel if we were playing midfield with him and maybe Alex Song alongside him, it could be good balance in that sense. But I don't know. I've always seen him more of a box to box. To be honest, I see the deep lying playmaker, which he's done pretty well. I've just always seen him kind of he has that drive of being able to move forward. I've always seen him kind of being the box to box guy.
What's been great about him in that position is that he's willing to look forward and even try, you know, a pass to the corners, you know, or pass over the top, or even try a long ball through, you know, through the middle, which we know that Arteta hasn't. I mean, he's been looking sideways or back.
Neither are extraordinary snap. Arteta's been doing a very, very basic job, I think.
Yeah,
he's doing it well. Don't get me wrong, and he has scored his goals when he's got the freedom to. But when Arteta's constricted, he doesn't play a lot of forward balls.
No, there's a lot of the.
As soon as he's pressed, it's pretty much sideways or back.
A lot of Danielson crab passing.
Yeah, a lot of crab passing going on.
But so be it. So be it. Well, I'm going to go with you guys. I'm going to go with the. I don't trust their defense to keep a clean sheet. So Joseph, I like your 4-0, but I'm going to go with. We make it too tight too often. I'm going to say 2-1 Arsenal over Stoke. I'm going to say the American Jeff Jeff Cameron gets the goal for the Stoke.
A 2-1 tight ass squeezing on the end of the chair.
I'm gonna say Nacho makes his debut and he sends in a cross for Giroud.
You think he'll start?
Yeah, I think he's gonna start at left back and then he and Giroud do the end.
What, Giroud? Oh, Nacho.
No, Nacho. And he's going to send it across to Giroud, and they're going to do the anaconda squeeze.
Yes, yes, I think so.
Yeah. It's going to be a new goal. New
you know what I want to do? I want them to stick up for each other.
Yeah. I think they've done a pretty good job of that, though. I think there's a good cohesion in the squad.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. You know, The thing that I saw was that a couple of weeks ago, I was watching Liverpool play and someone went and turned Sterling over, and immediately one of their players, I think it might have been Gerrard, just took that other player out, took the yellow, took him out. We don't have anybody.
And he shouted at him, you know? We need that. Like, I don't care if it's Giroud, I don't care if it's Santos, even Santos, the captain has to walk over and say, get the fuck off my player. Don't talk to him.
Yeah, you want that. You
know, they have to be aggressive. They need to be, like, scaring people, even if it's fake bullshit. They can't just be so, I don't know, so calm and nice.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that mean streak can show and we can put together a good run. I mean, we've been on a relatively good run as of late, and long may it continue. I mean, the straw wasn't the greatest thing, but, you know, we have a few very winnable matches ahead of us leading up to that, to the big Champions League tie against Bayern. So win those matches, get in the right frame of mind, and make something happen. You know, we've added a quality left back. You know, let's enjoy that and let's make something happen. I want to see him play straight off. I mean, maybe Wenger's going to want to give him a few days to bed in, which he probably will, because Arsene's not the kind of guy that throws guys in the fire. But I mean, what do you want to do? Do you really want to play Vermaelen at left back next match?
No,
certainly not Santos. Certainly not Santos.
If he's fit, he's smart.
Yeah. Santos he's good would enough. Get eaten by the Stoke players. He would.
Well, I assume they'll.
They would face on his body.
They'd snack on each other.
I don't know who plays in that right for them.
I don't know. Who cares?
Edrington plays left and right. Who else plays?
They used to have Pennant,
but I don't know if he's still there.
I think he's gone. Anyways, we'll see how it goes. But to a good weekend. I'm excited.
Shots and plays there.
Yeah. What was that, Joseph?
We will promote from within.
Oh, you and your fucking philosophy. Always, always.
Oh, yeah, sorry. We do have a striker. Benik Afobe.
Came back. He might get some minutes these days. Who knows? Yeah. Maybe he'll be on a bench.
He'll be on the bench.
Great. From what I hear, he hasn't done much at Bolton, but, you know, go figure.
No, this girl I know who writes for Bolton, she watched him all season. She said he's been terrible. He's been recalled. You don't get recalled unless you're absolutely horrible.
Yeah, it's not a great sign. So we'll see.
Good.
We'll see how it goes. But move on from there. Anyways, all of you lovely folks can follow these cats. We're gonna start with the_Beck at Twitter. You can follow Alex.
There's another underscore after that.
What? There's underscore then underscore again?
Yes.
Okay. _Beck_ And you can follow Joseph @IHateYourClub_.
Especially fair? You, Stoke.
Especially you, Stoke. You don't actually. If you're a Stoke fan, put some underscores in there. It's better that way. I think about that. Well, anyways, thank you, gentlemen. It's been lovely. It's been a wonderful deadline day pintcast with you two.
It's been lovely.
And on to the Neanderthals, and we'll turn them over and be back next week.
Be there for each other.
Yeah.
Enjoy the match.
Yeah.
It's a football game.
Let's enjoy the football.
We're supporters. Yeah. We need to enjoy the match.
So let's enjoy the football. Till then.